In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters. In today's gospel, it really shows us that Christ is more powerful than evil. And it also reveals how it is only by God's permission that evil is permitted to even exist. And this is one of those kind of big questions, one of those kind of sensitive questions that many philosophers and wise men have wrestled with all throughout the centuries. After all, you know, since God is omnipotent, why doesn't he just destroy evil right now and so that we don't have to deal with it? Well, St. John of Kronstadt was reflecting on this question one time, and he wrote, "Why did God allow the fall of man, his beloved creation, and the crown of all the earthly creatures? To this question, one must reply thus. If man is not to be allowed to fall, then he cannot be created in the image and likeness of God. He cannot be granted free will, which is an inseparable feature of the image of God. But he would have to be subject to the law of necessity, like the irrational animals. Then man would have no way to show his faithfulness and devotion to the Creator, his self-sacrificing love. Then there would have been no exploits in battle, no merits, and no incorruptible crowns for victory. There would have been no eternal blessedness, which is the reward for faithfulness and devotion to God, and no eternal repose after the labors and struggles of our earthly pilgrimage." Our Lord Jesus Christ is not only omnipotent, but also omniscient. That is, he knew what was going to happen in this encounter with evil. He knew that the demons hated mankind and they would try to tempt these people and turn them away from God. And he knew that these townspeople would ask him to leave before all these events even took place. So we might wonder, why did he go to all the trouble of casting out these demons just to heal the two possessed men? And by the same token, we might ask why the book of Job is included in the Old Testament. After all, if God already knew the outcome, that Satan would be defeated by Job's patience, faith, and love for God would triumph, then why go through the whole exercise of letting Satan tempt Job and making him such a public example? When a man has to contend with evil, suffering is the result. And we all have to contend with evil since it's all around us in the world today. As Archimandrite Seraphim Alexiev, in his book, The Meaning of Suffering, wrote, "For those who do not believe in God, this world is a hopeless valley of sorrows. The worst thing in such cases is that suffering does not carry any meaning in itself that would soften it, making it doubly hard to bear." But he goes on to say that God has created us not for sorrow, but for joy. It was through sin that Adam and Eve fell, and in so doing, he chose sorrow for himself. But if we embrace God's law, we will not suffer like Adam, but will foretaste the paradisical joys even in this life and in the age to come. We will also live in bliss eternally with those who have pleased God. And he also points out how the saints are an example of this very thing, because they were in a paradisal kind of state, even in this life. Now, of course, most of us maybe are not quite saints yet, but it is possible to have some consolation. We sometimes experience a little taste of this, you know, at Pascha and other times. The Lord revealed his mighty power, almighty power over evil, by casting out those wicked demons into the herd of swine. In his goodness and love for men, he also healed these two possessed men. But what happens after the swine are destroyed? One would hope that when the townspeople come out to meet the Lord, they would ask him to remain with them, as those Samaritans did when the woman at the well told them about Christ. Archbishop Andrew Remarenko says, however, that here is the most terrible passage in this gospel, because we see a whole town possessed, as it were, with the passion for profit. Rather than express their thanks and gratitude to the Lord for healing these two unfortunate men and casting out those wicked demons and seeking to learn from him how they can be saved, they ask the Lord to depart from them instead. So, brothers and sisters, let us learn to fear God and not fear evil. As it says in the Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And let's put our hope and trust in the Lord, who is all-powerful, to overcome the evil one. And let's always struggle against evil within our own hearts and minds, calling upon the Lord to help us, that we might welcome him into our midst and join him one day in his heavenly kingdom. Glory be to our God.